Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Delana Johnson, who occupies the seat in Alaska House of Representatives for District 11, and she is one of the candidates in the Republican primary coming up on August 21st. Welcome, Delana.
Good to be here.
So we're going to run through the questions, but before we begin each question, what I thought I would do is just remind that our theme this year has changed a bit from years previous, and it is the faster things change, the harder it seems to adjust to the change. So with that, question one, in Alaska, some Native elders are saying our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this observation applies to politics in Alaska.
Well, if we go back and look at the past and try to predict the future, maybe the fact that we have had such an excess of money in the state of Alaska, we have had so much largesse, we've been very, very fortunate in that way. And, you know, we really don't have a lot of experience in cutting back. And so that could be, I guess, associated with that. I certainly feel like the traditional people certainly have a voice and they have a place at the table. And because I think everyone is going to have to come up with a way to do the right thing when we do scale back, because otherwise you're just we will have to scale back, but we need everybody's voice to help us to do that.
Okay. Question number two. In your life to date, how have you managed adapting to change?
Oh, I'm one of those persons that do a whole lot of changing. I've been a full-time mother. I was a full-time caregiver for my mother. I was I built a building. I've done real estate. I have now adult children. I've been in the legislature. I've been a mayor. That's kind of it's probably the theme of my life without actually being my theme, because I think change helps you be innovative and it helps you look at things with a fresh perspective.
Okay. Question number three. If you consider yourself a conservative, describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you have worked, or vice versa.
And I think I've answered this question before.
Right.
I have good relationships with them just across the board. And so, I mean, I always appreciate everyone's, especially in Palmer, no matter what their political view. There's something to be said for having a nonpartisan, solid community involvement and just the enthusiasm that can be brought forward. I mean, I think there's just a lot of the people that I've worked with might be self-described liberals, and we have a common vision for something that might happen in the community, and they do very well at that.
Number four, as a candidate for the state legislature, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? And if so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
So I think one of the things that was very difficult for me going to Juneau in my first term was the fact that we were kept in Juneau for 10 months for the first year, and I didn't have any chance to really get home and talk to people. And whether you want to have it that way or not, there is a Juneau bubble. There is that sense that I was there. Even Facebook knew that I was in Juneau and didn't show me the people from Palmer. So that was hard for me because I just rely a lot on getting out and actually talking to people to see what they're thinking. So, you know, people talk about a capital move as if it's in the big political sense. But I'll tell you one thing I would really like to see is if, no matter what, is some way to be able to truly be able to get home and talk to people in the midst of all the things that are happening in Juneau. So how can that change? You know, certainly we could have more meetings in Anchorage at the very least.
Okay. Describe your prediction about the makeup of the next legislature. Explain your reasoning and the probability that you will be right.
Okay, so the probability that I'll be right, I'll just start with that. I mean, I don't think that anyone really knows what the makeup's going to be. Right now, it's a razor. Well, I'll talk about the House. In the House, I believe there's a razor-thin edge. I think every seat will count. I don't know what the makeup is going to be. I think of those, that will be a very big challenge as we pass through the primary elections to see what seats are that are contested, how they turn out. And I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen.
Okay.
So I can pull out a crystal ball or maybe toss the dice or something. But as far as it making a logical and educated guess, I think my guess is it would just be pulling something out of thin air.
Thank you. Question number 6. The discussion about the budget has taken up most of the current legislative session just passed. If further cuts in expenditures are to be done, describe specifically what those cuts should be and also what impact the cuts will have. And if additional revenues are to be added, also specifically describe them and their impact.
So cuts are one of those things that every dollar has a constituency, and we all worry about, people will worry about where those cuts are going to come from. To me, the real solid budget has to come in from the governor, and the governor needs to tell us, he needs to lay out his vision and let us know where he's taking the administration. One thing that I will say that I've talked to a lot of folks at the door, I've been to the door a lot, and what I'm finding is, well, in a number of areas, but specifically in Medicaid, the Medicaid expansion is just fraught with problems. And there seems to be a lot of ineptitude. I don't know if that's the right word, or I know it's a new program, but some very big problems in the administration of Medicaid as far as getting that down to people on the street. And so as much as cutting the budget, I absolutely wanted to see the money spent well. We can talk about cutting healthcare or healthcare costs, because that's where the biggest portion of our state spending is at. Obviously, the biggest budget, where that should be, we need to have a full-on audit of that to see what's happening, because I believe that it's not just the amount of spending, it's spending well.
Okay. Last question, question number 7. What do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience? For example, if your constituents were to overwhelmingly support an income tax, but you personally opposed one, how would you vote and how would you explain your decision to your constituents? And by the way, maybe throw in a definition for who you consider to be your constituents.
So I think... Again, I think I've given a lot of thought to this question, and I think there's a, in my title, I have Representative Johnson, so I think that's the big clue right there. I represent the people of District 11, and I just want to throw in there that District 11 is growing. Most likely, I actually represent the most people in the state of Alaska because after the last census, we have had so much additional people move into the Matsu borough. So the Matsu representatives are representing a lot of people. So anyway, as a representative, there's a few moral issues that I won't bend on, and I try to make sure that people know what those are. But otherwise, I think we have to look at things in the spirit of what's the right thing for Alaska and compromise as need be. But certainly representing the district is why it has representative in the name.
Okay. Would you like to add any comments of any sort? I've asked the questions. We have time for you to... add something that you choose.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I always want to say thank you to the radio station for having this. I do appreciate that. It's one more way to communicate with people. And I think it's a piece of, well, we have a quilt on the back wall, which no one can see, but it's a part of the quilt of our community and the fabric of our society. I don't think it's any surprised that people use those kinds of terms. And so I appreciate the radio station allowing me to communicate with people. And I want to add, I have always throw out my cell number, 907-355-8866. I'm always available by text, almost always. I like to hear from people, and that does keep me, I think, grounded and as a good representative. I do. I like to hear from people. That's why I love, you know, doing this job, because I believe I can represent people's interests, and I truly care about what's happening out there.
Well, thank you for coming in, Representative Johnson.
It's good to be here.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you very much.